pick up the reading here with chapter number 19 this evening. Do our best to give you our heart as the Lord has directed our heart concerning these scriptures. Way of getting started here this evening, I thought about the song they sung. I know that man, it gets to a particular place in the chorus. It says, I believe it maybe it's in the second verse, but one place there in the song it says, I call him Savior, Lord of my life. And I be honest, I don't want this to sound critical at all. There seems like the world's really eager to have a Savior, but not very many people are eager to have a Lord of their life. And a big difference between Jesus being Savior and Him being Lord of your life. And don't take that the wrong way as far as the preacher saying that. The Scripture talks about Him being the Savior a number of times, but then I've tried to do the math on it as far as the number of verses of Scripture that's there. And it's nearly about 700 and some more times than that it talks about Him being Lord, about Him being the Lord of someone's life. And for Him to be the Savior, we all want to be rescued. We all want Him to pull us up out of things and save us from things, but we're not as eager to have Him be Lord and give us direction and guidance and leadership and obey His commands so that we don't wind up in the places where we need the saving as often as we find ourselves in those places. So you fall back with us tonight while we read the Scripture, Revelation chapter number 19. Do our best to read this as the Lord gives us guidance, and then we'll share with you as the Lord has directed our heart. Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 1, the Bible says, And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, for He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He hath said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He said unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. That's all for now that I feel like the Lord would have us to read. And I know that we've already prayed here this evening, but I'll ask you if you would just for a moment go with us to the Lord in prayer that he might be our helper. Pray with me if you will. My Lord and my God, we come to you, Lord, again tonight, and we thank you, Lord, and we praise you, God, Lord, for this good day, for the privilege and the honor that you've given us, Lord, to live and to serve you in this day. We thank you, God, for the reading of your word, God, Lord, for how that you allowed us, God, to be able to have the scriptures, God, to value, Lord, that they are in our life, what they mean to our soul. We pray according to thy will. We've read it, God, Lord, as earnest as we know how, with sincerity. And God, it's in your hands, Lord, what you do with it now. According to thy will, we ask you, God, that you might bless it and that you might break it. God, that you might pass it out according to thy purpose. Give us guidance. Give us leadership. Help us, God, to be obedient to your spirit. I say everything you'd have us to say, assuredly no more, but assuredly no less, God, than what thou might have us to say. Help us according to thy good will. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. You forbear with us. Maybe I'm not going to say that I'll have all that much to say, or that I won't have all that much to say. I'll just try to follow the leadership of the Spirit according to the will of the Lord as he's directed our heart. I believe that on the last occasion when we begin to finish up chapter number 18, I tried to, by the help of the Lord, I believe, to focus just forbear with me. I'm not going to go back and, amen, re-preach everything we preached on the last occasion, but I believe it be important for us to get verse number, amen, 23 there and 24 as we progress back over into chapter number 19. Verse number 23 of 18, the Bible says, "And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." And then I picked up the reading. You just forbear with me. And then I picked up the reading there in verse number 19, read through the chapter. And you'll find there as we read through the chapter, maybe as the scripture gives guidance and gives leadership and begins to point us into the directions, I'll go back maybe and just kindly, amen, refresh the analogy so everybody will understand where it is that we're coming from. Won't take a long time as the Lord directs our heart to it. We've been trying to kindly maybe explain this using the analogy of a ball game, because really, amen, carnal example, but it makes good sense to a lot of people as far as, amen, the perspective, amen, when you're sitting around and you're looking in on it, all the different viewpoints and angles and all these kind of things. But on another occasion, maybe I give an example of a movie that people, amen, have watched and have kindly maybe told me about it, give me utterance of it, give me, amen, some direction. You stay with me. I'll get to the scriptures, I promise, amen, as the Lord directs my heart. But they kindly had talked about this movie where there was an assassination attempt on the president. And Brother Adam, as the movie kindly unfolds and transpires, it happens in five or six different phases, Danny. It shows, amen, that one event just kindly shows it from the big perspective. And then on six different occasions, as it goes through the movie, amen, you see that same event from all these different perspectives. And everybody that's seen it Amen. They all seen it from a different perspective. Kind of maybe had a little bit of detail here that you didn't see. When this person seen it, had a little bit of detail here. When you see it that this person didn't see over here. But by the time it's done, amen, you get all the perspectives. You get all these details. And what they showed in the beginning, it goes back and it shows all that over again. And all that begins to make, amen, altogether a different level of cognizance or understanding when you see it from all them different perspectives. Amen, I said all that to say this. Maybe you have, and maybe you've not have, amen, but you just thought about it with me when I put this example to you. Amen, sometimes maybe on occasions of life, amen, I've watched movies, I've looked at movies, amen, that's supposed to be examples to demonstrate, amen, what it's like to be in war, what it's like to maybe, amen, have been in a battle, kindly maybe to have been, amen, in the circumstances where the enemy was out, amen, to destroy an individual, and the only way to survive, Brother Justin, was that person had to fight tooth and nail and the objective. Now don't get hurt at me, amen, whenever I say this, but in war, when it comes down to a life and death situation, amen, those soldiers are put in a circumstance where they have to make a decision. Amen, it's either kill, amen, or be killed. They either have to make the decision, amen, to end life, to end someone else's life, or allow, amen, their life to be taken. Amen, stay with me, amen, while I get this all laid down. And amen, there's a particular movie I remember, amen, watching some time back where it was showing, amen, kindly maybe the circumstances of the invasion, amen, the storming of the beaches at Normandy, whenever, amen, them men were taken on the coast and coming in on those boats, and the doors were dropping and they was taking the sands, and there's a, but to stay with me, it's kind of gruesome, amen, but it's necessary I get to this point to share with you that the Lord has directed my heart to concerning chapter number 19. It's a terrible, terrible, amen, scene in this movie where a gentleman, amen, kind of gets hit, amen, by something. I don't know exactly what type of ammunition or artillery it is, but it physically in this video, amen, Brother Levi, it blows this man's arm off, amen, right here at the shoulder, amen, and completely disconnects his arm, amen, and it's laying there on the ground, and they go through the cycle of the fight and of the battle, and this gentleman kind of maybe lives through it, and they're beginning to kind of sort through the aftermath of it, and that man looks down and sees his own arm, amen, laying there on the ground, and according, amen, to this video, he reaches down there, Josh Burleson, and picks his own arm up off the ground and tucks it, amen, kindly up and underneath his other arm and proceeds to walk away, amen, with his arm. And I thought, how gruesome, amen, it is to watch that and to look at that, amen. And so when time come, after I'd watch this, I begin to stay with me. I begin to have a conversation with my grandpa. Amen, help me, Lord. And my papa, amen, was fortunate or unfortunate, however you want to look at that, Brother Lachlan, to have been there on this exact day that they were trying to portray in this movie. And I asked my grandpa about it. I said, this is what I seen. This is what, amen, happened in that movie. And I said, people talk about how gross it was or how grotesque it was to see that image of that man's arm, blood, amen, literally oozing and gushing, and him fighting and whatnot, and then picking that up and sticking it back under his arm. And I asked my papa, I said, is that how it was? Is that what it was like? And he just shook his head, no, like that. And I said, so it wasn't like that? He said, no, no, it wasn't like that at all. I said, well, can you tell me what it was like so I can have understanding about it? He said, you take what you've seen in the images of that movie, and he said,
that you exponentially increase it to the hundredth or to the thousandth power. And then that might begin to explain what it would have been like to have actually have been there on that day. He said, I don't have words and I don't have ways to tell you, amen, what it amen's like to have to smell that volume of blood, the amount, amen, of blood that would have been spilt out, and the hollering and the screaming. He said, people just hollering all over and a moaning and groaning. He said, you could hear people taking their last breath, dying, and breath was leaving their body and going out. He said, I just don't want to talk about it no more. He said, I just don't want to say anything else about it. He said, but I can assure you, he said, there's no movie that'll give you what it was like to have been there on that day. He said, the only way I can explain it is you just have to be in that situation, amen, for yourself to ever understand what I'm trying to say. I said all that to say this, brother, amen, the Bible, amen, the scriptures here, amen, talks about battle, and it talks about warfare here in chapter number 19. You stay with me. There's parts in here to celebrate, and maybe we'll celebrate as God gives utterance, but there's other parts of this scripture that I believe as the people of God, we need to see and understand and to realize, thank God, the Bible tells us plainly that the devil, amen, is our adversary, and that he is a roaring lion, and he's going about to and fro and a seeking whom he may devour. Help me, Lord. It's gruesome. You just stay with me, brother. Amen. Maybe you've seen it, and maybe, amen, you've watched it on television, to see a lion or something kill an animal and begin to consume it and begin to eat it, brother. Ain't nothing, amen, romanticized about that. Ain't nothing, amen, pretty about that. To watch arms and limbs, amen, be pulled off and be destroyed. And when them lions, amen, are eating, amen, it's plain, amen, the youngins ain't in here. I'm trying my best not to say anything that the Spirit don't allow me to say. But I've seen them videos whenever they get done, and blood be all over their faces, and be all, amen, up into their mane, amen, all around them. Say amen, brother. But in the day and hour in which we live in, it seems like the church world just don't get the analogy, brother, amen, that Jesus was trying to give us. And he tells us that the devil, amen, our adversary, is like a lion. You see, because we don't see it on a regular basis. We don't watch, amen, the death come. Amen. And them lies don't care anything. Amen. They don't butcher, amen, that thing out like a human does and get it just in nice, neat pieces. Amen. They don't worry about cooking it and seasoning it out, brother. Amen. All they're worried about is to satisfy their hunger and to satiate. And brother, it'd do good if the church, amen, realize, thank God, that the devil out there, amen to God, and that's his objective, brother, is to tear limb from limb of the people of God and to destroy the church of the living God. He wants to do everything he can to wreak havoc and to cause turmoil. Help me, Lord, give me grace, let me slow down. Amen, trying to get carried away before it's time to get carried away. Amen, an animal like that, a lion, God help me and give me grace to bring this out the right way. We've come to the place anymore that as humanity, that has, amen, we've reasoned in our minds and in our thought processes that we look at that, brother, that we look at nature. Help me, Lord, to bring this out the right way. We look at, amen, what happens in the natural order of the world, and we find it to be grotesque, or we find it to be something something that's gross to us to see that, brother. But is that not functioning the way that God set it in order? Amen. For that to function, say amen. And brother, amen, if we'd identify with them and see that, amen, I believe these analogies, amen, preacher, you ought not preach such gross things. Amen, God help me. It'd do good if the church, brother, realized that the devil ain't playing games. He ain't out there, amen, trying. He ain't no animal, brother. Amen, just kindly dressed up. Amen, in an old red suit and horns and a pitchfork. He ain't poking you in the side. He ain't even got amen to God. He ain't even got no interest, brother, in giving you a flat tire. Ain't got no interest in making your washing machine quit running. You know what the devil's interest is to get into your heart and to destroy, amen, your soul, and to rip you apart and to leave you laying blood on his face. He don't care what he looks like. He don't care, amen, the image that he leaves. Help me, Lord. The only time the devil cares about what he looks like is when he's doing what he can to get close to you. When he paints himself up to look like an angel of light. When he makes himself look like something enticing and a lust adder and to draw you in close. He cares then. But when he gets his hands on you, he don't care what he looks like. And brother, he surely don't care what you look like when he gets done with you neither. Help me, Lord. I'd say all this the right way. As the scripture here I lay down in chapter number 19. Amen. God has judged, amen, Babylon, the world, if you'll have it. And according to the scriptures, chapter number 18, verses 23 and 24, how the Bible, I tried to get on it some, amen, on last occasion. The scripture says that, Brother Danny, amen, that there'll be no more voice of the bridegroom heard, and there'll be no more voice of the bride heard, amen, within Babylon. What is the bridegroom? That's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the bride? That's none other, amen, than the church of the living God. The bride, amen, and when judgment comes, amen, amen, help me, Lord. At the Babylon, amen, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride gets quiet. Amen. And then we pick up chapter number 19, and you'd think it'd be cause to celebrate. It'd be cause to rejoice, brother. But the scripture speaks plainly that, amen, them that's on the side of the beast is going to, amen, come in battle, come in array against them, amen, that's the followers of the Lord Jesus, help me. And people always are looking at this scripture and thank you, God, for the power I feel. Amen. People always are looking for the scriptures that we read to you tonight. It'll be somewhere out there in the future, and it'll be somewhere way off into the distance, brother. But whether we see it or not, the war's already being waged. Amen. We're already at war. Amen. We're already in the battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, amen, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Help me, Lord, to get this out there and to sit around in the house of God and be naive to it. It's a jeopardizing of the very existence of this body of believers. Help us, Lord. I don't know why, amen, that the warning has to come this way, but the Lord does. I'll do my best to deliver it, amen, according to the will of the Lord. According to the scripture, the Bible tells us that the devil, that Satan, that Lucifer, amen, can make himself appear as an angel of light. Amen. In other words, he can make himself appear amen, to be the closest thing to being what's right, amen, in appearance sake, without being right, amen, as possible. He can make it appear to be so close to being the right thing. Help me, Lord. I'd say this the right way. We read in the scriptures of the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible, amen, tells us that he was in the spirit, led away into the wilderness where he might be tempted by the devil. And he gets out there, Brother Justin. Amen to God. And the Bible says that the devil begins to talk to him and begins to share and exchange words with him and tells him, amen, he'd been fasting 40 days, hadn't he? Amen, I hadn't ate nothing for 40 days, 40 nights. And the Bible says the very first thing, Curtis, that the devil does in the life of the Lord Jesus in that particular place is he goes to him and he says, now here, amen, are these stones. He said, take these stones and make bread out of them. Amen to God. You believe whatever you want to, but the flesh of Jesus, just as much flesh as yours and mine is, he'd have been hungry. And the devil, amen, you read over there in 1 John and you'll see, brother, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, amen, are all laid out there. And the first thing that the devil goes to is that lust of the flesh. Your flesh gets hungry. It has, amen, that desire to eat, to consume food. Amen, probably stomach growling. And the devil said, here's you some rocks. Here's you some stone. Amen, he said, make these into bread. And what did Jesus say? He said, it is written, brother. He used the word of God. Say amen. And he looked at Satan, he looked at the devil. He said, it is written, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In other words, what Jesus was telling the devil is that the natural food and the natural flesh does not matter as much as the spiritual food and the spiritual being. Amen to God. In another place, Jesus said, if your eye offends you, he said, pluck it out. If your arm, amen, or your hand offends you, cut it off. If your foot offends you, he said, cut it off. It's better to enter into heaven, amen, blind and maimed and halted than to enter into hellfire with the whole body. What was he trying to say? He was trying to say, brother, that the soul matters more than the flesh. You stay with me. We'll get there, I promise. Hey, man, Jesus looks at the devil and says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Hey, man, the devil realizes I'm not going to get to him by that lust of the flesh. Amen. So he moves on to the lust of the eye. The Bible says he takes him up, amen, to a great and high mountain. Amen. Where he can overlook all. According to the Bible says all the kingdoms of the world. Amen. It don't say, amen, people like to tell me that according to the scriptures, that what the devil would have showed Jesus, amen, would have been all of the kingdoms, amen, that were in existence in the world at that particular time. Amen. Whatever availability of riches and goods. But I'm persuaded that in order for Jesus to have been the propitiation for the sin, amen, that all mankind would have to face, amen, then whatever the riches or the goods, amen, or the wealth or whatever it may have been that the devil put in front of Jesus would have to have been, amen, equated to whatever it would have been that we would see in the day and hour in which we live. Don't get mad at me. Amen. But anymore, brother, the devil don't have to put, amen, the Biltmore State in front of us to persuade us to step away. Oh, amen to God. All he's got to put out there, brother, is a real good deer stand or a real good coon dog. Come on with me, brother. Or amen, a week's worth of overtime that'll take us away from the house of God and the things of God, the distractions, amen to God. How weak we've become, that the distractions that the devil uses today, amen, do not compare to the things that he used on the Lord Jesus. Our weaknesses come into play. Amen to God. Help me, Lord. Don't you get offended at the preacher. If you do, you scratch it and get glad. Amen tonight. Amen. But the devil, amen, come to the place now. You know what he'll use a lot of times? Can I use you, Josh Burleson? Amen. Don't get offended at me. Amen. I ain't got no idea. Amen. The Lord said, use you, and I'm just going to use you. Amen. And give the example. Amen. But we've come to the place anymore that we'll let the welfare and well-being of our children be what the devil uses to hinder us from doing God's will. Well, now, you ain't got to be so hard on them. You ain't got to be so strict about this or so strict about you. You can be eased up a little bit. Josh, if you keep treating them like that, everybody at school's going to make fun of them. If you keep treating them like that, they ain't going to have the same resources. They ain't going to have the same, amen, changes in life that you've had. Help me, Lord, I love you. I'm going to preach, praise God. Amen, you better run them down there to the ball field every time you get to change. Amen, mama on this ball field and daddy on that ball field, amen, running wide open every which way. Ain't got no time to read with them. Ain't got no time to pray with them. Ain't got no time to teach them about the good things of God. But we sure find time to run them everywhere else in the world, brother. Take them every other place besides investing in their soul. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. He'll play on that. He'll play on that lust of the eye. Help me, Lord. He'll put, Lord, give me grace. I say this, amen, by preaching. Thank God. Thank God, amen, for the wife that he gave me. Amen. Never a day, never a time has she ever, amen, guilted me or made me feel like I should work extra hours or more hours, amen, to have more than what the Lord allows me, how to be able to earn or to have. Never one time has she put that pressure there that you need to bring in more so that I can have nicer, I can do more than this. Help me, Lord. Amen. I'm just going to preach to you for a minute or two. Amen. Ladies, God, help me and give me grace. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Don't ever get to the place of men the same, brother. Amen. The Bible says if you have food and raiment, to be therewith content, brother. Amen. We've come to the place anymore that we've let the lust of these eyes and all that stuff, brother, that the world has. Let me warn you something tonight, brother. Every bit of that, children, is going to melt with a fervent heat. It ain't going to last, amen. Thank God, what good's it going to do you on the day of judgment when you hear him say, depart from me if you had a Cadillac versus a Pinto. Help my Lord. Preacher, is all this in Revelation chapter number 19. It is. It's there. Amen. It's there in the battle. It's there in the warfare. Amen. Between, amen, the people of the world and God's people. Amen. So he tells Jesus, he says, amen, if you'll just bow down. If you'll just bow down and worship me, he said, I'll give you all this. He said, you can have every bit of this that you see if you'll just bow down and worship me. Amen. And the Lord, what's the Lord do? The Lord says, it is written. Amen. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and him only. Amen. Shalt thou serve. Amen. The Lord tells the devil, amen, that all this stuff out there, amen, don't matter more, amen, than God matters. Come on with me. Amen. So the lust of the eye, he don't get him with the lust of the eye. He says, well, I'll move on to the pride of life. And the Bible says he takes him up, amen, on a great and high, amen, point of the temple, of the top of the temple, up there to the pinnacle of it. Amen. Gets him up there. Amen. Begins to play on that lust, amen, of the flesh and the lust of the eye, and begins to then, amen, kindly nudge that pride of life just a little bit. Amen. I believe, amen, what he was saying, what I can infer from the scriptures, I believe what the devil was saying. Amen. As he's saying, you're Jesus. You're the Son of God. The Son of God. In the flesh. He said, just jump off of here. Just jump off this pinnacle. He said, the scripture, the devil looks at Jesus, and the devil then begins to quote scripture to Jesus. The devil says, it's written, amen, lest you dash your foot against a stone, that the angels will come down, swoop you up, amen, and carry you away. Amen. In other words, he was trying to get you, just prove who you are. Just prove it. Just, amen, you ain't never been there. You ain't never been around nobody, amen, to tell you, amen, they just kind of, you tell them something or you say something, and they just, you just got to prove it to them. Help me, Lord. God forbid, whenever I was a lost man, didn't have, amen, no discerning of the spirit, didn't have no temperance of this flesh. Amen, as a young individual one time, amen, just, yeah. Yak, yak, yak all time about whooping somebody and fighting somebody all time. Amen. And he's always just all the time on it about it. Amen. And finally I told him, I said, just quit. Just stop. Amen. I'm going to end up hurting you bad. Amen. And he just wouldn't take that for an answer. Amen. His response to me was, prove it. Well, whenever I did, amen, they was pulling me off of him. Amen. And the blood, amen, are rushing out of his ears and nose and out of his eye sockets and all this. Amen. That's a shameful thing. God forbid that I allowed my flesh, amen, to supersede. Amen. But nonetheless, amen, just had to prove it to him. That's what the devil was doing. Amen. That's what the devil was doing. Did you just show me. Just show me that you're Jesus. Let me see how many angels it takes to fly you up into the heavens. Just prove you're God, ain't you? Amen. Now that lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and all that pride of life in the flesh of Jesus, same flesh you got, same flesh I got. And in doing that, the devil was taking that very scripture. Come on with me. Evidently, you ain't seeing what I'm trying to say. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life became the light of men. Goes on down to chapter, that same chapter, to verse number 14. And it says, amen, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Y'all with me? The devil, amen, was so brazen. The devil, amen, was so bold, amen, in his efforts and in his labors. He was so in his hunger, his appetite to destroy God and to destroy the things of God motivated the devil to the place to where he was using the Word on the Word. Y'all with me? Amen. So in other words, that tells me that there's no technique. There's no boundaries. There's no depths that the devil will not go to try to destroy the people of God. Amen. Evidently, it must not bring any sort of, amen, humbling fear to any of you. Amen. To realize that the devil, don't get mad at me. Evidently, the devil knows enough of this book that he was brave enough, bold enough, brazen enough to use it on this book. Y'all say amen. Somebody asked me one day, "Preacher, why do you read that book so much? Why have you read it so many times?" If the devil knows that book good enough that he was willing to use it on Christ. Come on with me. Don't think for a minute that he won't try to use that book on you. Twist it just a little bit here. Twist it. Amen. Amen. Everybody will say amen, preacher. It's obvious that the devil knows that Bible. Say amen. Well, then let me just get plain with you then. Does he know more of it than you do? Does he know it better than you do? Hey, amen. I don't know about nobody else, but that ought to bring a godly fear to us. Hey, amen. To think, hey, amen, the possibility that he may know this book better than, hey, amen, to God. We're begotten by this word. We're kept by this word. We're sustained by this word. This is our very life. Amen. In this we exist and consist. Our being is in this book. And if our adversary knows this book well enough to try to use it on us, we better be about the Father's business. Help me, Lord. So Satan used that very word. We find out that Jesus then uses scripture to refute the devil again. Says, praise the Lord. Jesus begins to talk to the devil and very, very plainly tells him, he says, "Tempt not the Lord thy God." Help me, Lord, I'd say this the right way. Sometimes I think we don't identify with that pride of life, how quickly it can grab a hold of us. Amen, through the flesh. Amen, begin to steer us and guide us and waver us from the way, waver us from the truth of God. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" You know what the pride of life is? All the way back over to Adam and Eve. If you look at the scriptures, the devil did the very same thing, amen, with Eve. Lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Amen. The Bible says he showed her that it was good for food, hunger. And then he also said, amen, that he showed her, amen, let her see that it was good to the eye, that it was pleasing to the eye. And then the Bible says, amen, that it went on and he began to say to her, did God tell you that if you eat of this, you'd die? Amen. The devil tells her, he said, that ain't what God really meant. What God meant was, is if you eat of this, you'll become like him. To discern good and evil. You'll be a God. You'll come as God. Now, whether you want to believe it or not, children, the nature of humanity, the flesh, the carnal part of man, brother, it wants to be God. Amen. It wants to rule. It wants to reign. It wants to be in charge. Amen. I'm going to preach. Praise the Lord. I'm already this deep in it. Amen. We might as well just get on down in there. Amen. You know I'm telling you right. Don't get offended at me. Amen. That boy of mine, sweethearted, young and amen, as you ever meet in your life. Amen. There was a time when all I had to do, amen, was just look at him, Justin. He'd break down and cry. Amen. But age and time, and as the flesh begins to gain knowledge and begins to gain carnal wisdom and all this kind of stuff, it comes to the place where you look at him now and you tell him no and don't do something. Amen. I'll just use whenever he was small, whenever he was a little boy, he'd knock a cup of milk over in the living room. And I'd go and I'd say, "Titus, did you spill this?" He didn't have no reason to lie. Wasn't no need to lie. But you know what he'd say? "No, I didn't do it. It's innate in this being born into us." Amen. You don't got to teach them how to do wrong. It comes natural. That's why the scripture says to train them up in the way they should go. That's what they need the training on. Don't get mad at me. Well, then why is it that we'll look at children and the word that we'll use if somebody has a child, Logan, if somebody has a child and they've come to the place to where it needs correction, it needs discipline, or it's going to kill itself, Lachlan. Amen. Maybe it's walking across the street. Maybe it's, amen, turning on the stove or whatever the case may be. If the parent that child's born to is not doing something to try to correct that child, amen, or give them guidance or leadership, amen, what do we call that? We call that neglect. Amen, and we won't neglect our children. Say amen. We won't neglect our children, amen, to provide them discipline, provide them instruction, amen. And when somebody don't do it, we think, amen, they're a poor parent. But we have a heavenly Father, and we have a heavenly Mother. Amen. But the first time they try to provide any sort of correction or discipline, we don't call it neglect. Amen. We call it abuse. Come on with me. Amen. God help us. He's a loving Father. He's trying to give us direction and guide. Why? Because He knows the adversary. He knows his tricks. He knows his techniques. And He's trying to do everything He can to prepare us for the battle. Help me, Lord. Someone that don't look after and provide good oversight and good leadership and direction for the children, we call that neglect, and we'll look down on them. But when God's given us that same kind of guidance and leadership, we turn our nose at that as well as though He's abusing us. Help me, Lord, I'd say it's the right way. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Help me, Lord. The Bible tells us plainly that when the devil got done with him there, Scripture in Luke chapter number 4 says just that the devil went away and left him for a little season. Amen. So what that tells me is that evidently sometime along the life of Jesus, He would have come back. Sometime along, you may not realize it, but I'm persuaded that out there in the garden, amen, the devil would have been there as well. No, preacher, no. Amen. As much as he could buffet this flesh, he'd have been saying, Now really you want to die? Now really you want to die for that crowd that's going to take your name in vain? You really want to give up your life for that crowd that's going to curse you and mock you and all these things that's come? Amen. I guarantee you he'd have been standing somewhere in the shadows. Amen, whispering them. And if, amen, physically, amen, the devil wasn't there in presence, I know what this flesh would have been doing. Preacher, no, it had to be doing that or the Lord wouldn't have been in such an agony. Wouldn't have been in such an angst. He was trying to overcome this, and everything about this was saying, don't do it. Help me, Lord. Preacher, why does that matter? Because he did do it. Yeah. Amen. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Say amen. And everything I can read in the scriptures tells me that because he died, I can live. That because he overcome, I can overcome as well. Stay with me. Amen. And we've got this warfare. amen, that goes on and is going on in this battle, amen, against the world, against the church, holiness, righteousness, amen, against, amen, wickedness and unspiritual things, amen, going at it all the time. And we walk around, amen, like it's intended for us to lose. But the Bible says that we are more than conquerors, amen, through Him. We're not, amen, to God. He never died so that we would lose, amen, the mentality, amen, of being under subjection to this flesh and to the devil is weakness, amen. And the Spirit of God is put inside and dwells inside to help us combat this flesh. Don't get mad at the preacher when I tell you something that maybe grandma or grandpa didn't tell you. People like to look at this scripture in chapter number 19. Like to point to a time somewhere out yonder into the future to that whenever Christ will be married to His church. Let me make it good and clear to you tonight. Christ is already married to His church. Amen. If He was not already married, then all of the children that claim to be children of God, amen, would have been born, amen, out of wedlock. Would have been born in fornication. Come on with me, brother. Amen. Would have been born outside, amen, the bounds of God's law. And amen, that ain't going to happen. Amen. Thank the Lord forevermore. Give me grace. I'd say this the right way. You reckon on how long it would take. I don't even know how to describe whatever I could think of as being a wicked man, a wicked individual, for you to drive up on the scene and to see that person with their hands on your wife. How long from the time you seen that till it would be, amen, that you was intervening somehow or another in that situation? Justin's faster than I am naturally. Amen. So it may take less time for him to get from where he's seen it, amen, to wherever it's happening. But ever how amount of time it takes him to go from point A to point B, that's where he'd be intervening. Amen. Every other husband in here, not, amen. Yeah. Am I not telling it right? Amen. Right? Amen. Don't get mad at me, but if that ain't the case, you ain't much of a husband. Right. Amen. Amen. Preacher, what are you trying to say? Amen. Help me, Lord. He ain't engaged to us.
That's right.
We're not His fiancée.
That's right.
Amen. We're His wife.
That's right.
We're His bride.
Yeah.
Amen. And we make up His children, His inheritance. Come on with me.
Yeah.
He set it in order so that we can overcome. We can, amen to God, brother. If we sit around and be defeated, amen, by chapter number 19 and look at it as though, oh goodness, what are we going to do? Wring our hands. It's not Jesus' fault. Amen, children. He made a way for us to win this thing. Help me, Lord. But I'm persuaded, God help me, I've used this analogy of a game as we've looked through the book of Revelation because it's the most tangible example that I can use to bring out the tenets and the points that I feel like the Lord would have me to bring out. But do not mistake the preacher, amen, tonight in trying to lead you to believe that what we are participating in is a game. Because it is not a game. Hey man, it is life and it is death. Choose life and live or death and die. Amen. Moses told Aaron, he said, put some incense on the censer. Put it, amen, light it on fire. And he said, run down there and stand. He said, run down there and stand among them. He said, stand it. And amen, where Aaron was standing at, the Bible said that the plague was stayed. Amen. Death all on that side. And life, amen, on that side. Because, amen, because the light of the gospel and the Spirit of God, amen, stood in the middle of that place and put death on that side and life on that side. Amen to God. I read to you chapter number 18, verse number 23, I believe it was. Amen. The light of the candle. That's what Jesus said to church. That's what Jesus said the church was, is the light of the world. Amen. A city set up on a hillside. Amen. Don't light the candle and put it under a bushel, but set it on a candlestick. Why, preacher? Amen. You believe whatever you want to. But there was a time in my life, brother, that death reigned in my life. The sin of this world had me, amen, dead in my trespasses and sin. But one Sunday morning, I came to the light, brother, of the glorious gospel of the Lord. In the church was a shining like a lantern, like a light. Hallelujah. And they shined into my life. And I went down in the death of Jesus. But I've been resurrected. He's been quickened by the Holy Ghost in the first resurrection into the newness of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Don't get mad at the preacher. And if my desire, if the desire of my being is to walk after the Spirit, then the Lord has set it up such that I can walk after the Spirit. But if I want to walk after the flesh, I can walk out of the flesh. If I walk after the Spirit, of the Spirit, He'll reap life everlasting. If you walk after the flesh, of the flesh, you'll reap corruption. Help me, Lord. You can believe whatever you want to. Whether by the grave, maybe this thing will die. The Lord's got a boundary line somewhere drawn out there. I'll not cross it. Maybe I'll see the Lord in the clouds. Maybe this flesh will die and be buried in the ground. I don't know. You don't either. Help me, Lord. But there's a part of this chapter number 19 that I'm looking forward to. It gets down there towards the end of it, Levi. And it says the beast and the false prophet, amen, the hands is laid on them. That must not make anybody else want to celebrate. It does me, Bradley. Makes me want to celebrate. According to the scriptures, the Bible says that both of them alive be cast into a lake of fire, burned with fire and brimstone. I have no aspirations at all of being, amen, the individual that lays hands on them and throws them in there. I have no aspiration. Don't get offended at the preacher. I have no aspirations of being one of these folks that's maybe the word I should use is heady and high-minded to think that
Amen. I'll be the one give devil a black eye. You know what I have aspirations of? Somewhere's to be standing around. If I can just get there. If I can just get there to that point, amen, by the grace and mercy of God. Amen. To see. Amen. You believe whoever you want to. Amen. But I'm persuaded that it'll be the Lord Jesus that does the hand. Amen. That puts the hands on them. Amen. I just want to be there to see it, Levi. I want to be there to see them go into the lake of fire. I don't want to be in the lake of fire and see them coming. Come on with me, brother. Amen. And God help me and give me grace to bring this out. How you going to do that, preacher? The only thing I know according to the scripture that the Lord tells me is to fight the good fight of faith. To put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Amen. Some of the labor in the fight comes on my part. I've got to put on the armor. I've got to be willing to stand. I've got to be amen to God to do my part, whatever that may be, to give my energy, to give my effort. Amen. It's surely not to sit around and to act like that there ain't no warfare going on when the devil's trying to drag our people off into hell day after day. I'm about done, I promise. Right here, just four by with me just another moment. Long time ago. Maybe not as long to others, but it's 2022, so it's probably been about 10 or 11 years now. I went to bed one night and dreamed and woke up during the night, Josh, in this dream, seen something move in the hallway of my house. Tried to figure out what it was and searched the halls and couldn't find it nowhere. Laid back down in my dream, laid back down, Lachlan. Heard something move, got up, couldn't find it. Man, and as the dream progressed, it got to going through the dream, and I'll just be honest, you can make fun of me if you want to, that's all right. But I have an overwhelming natural fear of snakes. I don't like them, Levi. Just don't like them. I just don't like the way they look, don't like the way they feel. Just guess the best way I could do is my flesh is scared of them. Don't want nobody trying to put them on me. You want to get on the bus to meet Jesus, you be the one to try. Amen. Just naturally, I don't like them around me. And through this dream, through the course of this dream, it come to me. The Lord let me see. It was revealed to me that they was a large one of them anaconda type snakes, Levi, that was in my house. It would hide under my bed, or it would hide underneath the couch in the living room, or whatever the case may be. It just vexed me. It just troubled me. I mean, naturally it did. Next night I dreamed and it was there all over again. And after a while it got to where it was no longer vexing me naturally. It got to where it was vexing me spiritually. Because the Bible compares the devil to a serpent. And the Lord was letting me see that this serpent, this devil, was in my house. And I began to seek the Lord and beseech the Lord. Amen. The first thing I wanted to do was to get it out of my house. Lord, help me get it out of my house. And whatever, amen, you believe, amen. Lord, let me dream this dream. And in this dream, I've got it up in my mind. And one of my neighbors that I knew had this great old big sword, and I got that thing. And amen, I just hovered over the bed. And whenever it tried to crawl out, I just jumped down on it and stabbed it through the head. And then I just chopped its head off. And whenever, amen, in the dream, as soon as I chopped its head off, amen, whenever I had that sword and I chopped its head in my dream, I looked down, I wasn't holding a natural sword no more. I was holding this book. I was holding the Bible in my hands. And the Lord, amen, revealed to me that the only way to combat, amen, that serpent is by that sword that proceeds out of the mouth, amen, of the Lord Jesus, which is the Word of God. Amen. And then I got to beseeching the Lord. I was begging Him. I was saying, Lord, how? How, Lord, how did that thing get in my house? How did I let something like that get inside my house? I walked outside. Amen. The very next morning, amen, after I'd prayed all night and asked the Lord to help me, and I grabbed a bag of trash off the steps at the carport, and I picked that bag of trash up. And when I went to walk away with that bag of trash, it was a little old ringneck snake laying underneath that bag of trash. It wasn't no bigger than a bread tie, Justin. It wasn't no bigger than a bread tie. And as soon as I looked down at that, the Lord said, right there. And I just dropped that bag of trash and I looked at that snake. And the Lord said, that's how it got in your house. It never come in your house when it was that great big, amen, 25-foot snake. It come in your house when it was that little old bread tie, amen, ringneck snake. Amen, that's how it got in your house. Amen, it's the little foxes that's multiplying. Don't you get mad to preach here. Amen, we're all looking for this great, big, humongous, amen, 25-foot devil of a snake that's going to come into our homes and into our hearts and destroy us, but that ain't how the devil's going to get in. It'll be something small, something, amen, seductive, something of subtlety, something smooth, something, amen, that you wouldn't even, amen to God. Preacher, I don't need to worry about that. It ain't going to cause nobody no trouble. It may not when it's a bread tie, but if you feed it and you take care of it and you let it live in your house, it can become big enough to destroy you. All that to say this, be sober. Be vigilant for your adversary. Be sober. Be vigilant. Don't get mad at me. What did we talk about all week last week when we preached about chapter number 18? What does the Bible say that the world does, that Babylon does, how that she gets the world? The Bible said that they get drunk with the wine of her fornication. And He said, be sober. He wasn't saying, be, amen, I believe He was saying be sober naturally. But I believe He was more purposely talking about being sober spiritually, not to be drunk on the wine of this world and get distracted and let something come in your house that later on will destroy you. Every head bowed, that's the message. Search your heart. Search your heart just for a moment. We'll not tarry long.